Living Podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
So if you have your Bibles, we're going to start in Nehemiah chapter 1 and the building of the wall in Jerusalem. So I'm going to go ahead and just jump right into this because we've got a lot to cover. We actually have a couple of videos we're going to show too. So starting with Nehemiah chapter 1, well, first of all, I guess what made me want to do this message is what we see going on in the world today, and especially in our nation. And I'm not, please don't take this as me being political, because I'm not, but I'm just tired of, and what inspired this message this morning is I'm tired of the woke and the cancel culture that's going on in America. We're seeing, I mean, you can't have Aunt Jemima syrup, you can't have Uncle Ben's rice, you can't have Pepe Le Pew, you can't have Speedy Gonzalez, you can't have Dr. Seuss. And if we can't fool ourselves to think that the cancel culture is not going to stop there. They're going to come for us too. And that's kind of where this message comes from, is building that wall to say, you're not coming in, we're going to keep you out. So I hope that this speaks to someone this morning. So let's just jump right in, okay? Chapter 1, verse 1, Nehemiah's prayer. The words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in the citadel of Susa, Hanani, one of my brothers, came from Judah with some other men, and I questioned them about the Jewish remnant that had survived the exile and about Jerusalem. They said to me, "Those who have survived the exile are back in the province and are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates have been burned with fire." When I heard these things, I sat down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before God, before the God of heaven. Then I said, "Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of those with those he loved and keeps his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open to hear the prayer and your servant is praying for you day and night for your servants, the people Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave your servant Moses." Sound familiar? "Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, 'If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you are if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, who you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man." Nehemiah was greatly grieved when he heard about what had happened in Jerusalem with the wall being broken down and burned. Because the wall for Jerusalem represented the standard, the power, the strength, the character, and the integrity of the church. The wall does two things. It preserves, it keeps safe, and it keeps the right things in. Second thing it does, it protects, and it keeps the bad things out. Nehemiah is no doubt a book about revival and restoration, about bringing back the glory of God to the church. And it starts with an honest assessment of the brokenness and hopelessness and despair of people who have lost faith. They have accepted their condition as terminal. In other words, they had given up. They had no hope, no expectation for change, and they could not see past their present dilemma. I sometimes feel like that, and I'm sure some of you probably do as well, especially, like I said, when we see what's going on, watching the news, and it just seems like things are just so out of control that we'll never get it back. And again, the whole cancel culture is just, it just drives me crazy. I just think it's ridiculous, but I'll leave it at that. But it's not just about what you're seeing on the news, but what you might be experiencing in your lives personally. Everybody has their own issues that they go through. So we all face certain things within our own lives and our own families, and as well as what we see going on throughout the country and the world. A lot of times, we may look at our situation and it looks terminal. The devil says it's terminal. The doctor says it's terminal. The lawyer says it's terminal. Your enemies are saying it's terminal, and some of even your friends are starting to agree. You're looking at the broken down wall and it looks hopeless beyond repair. You cannot see how God could ever put that marriage back together, heal that disease, how a ministry could be restored, or how you're going to get out of that debt. You cannot see how God is going to deliver your prodigal son or daughter. There were some people in the Bible in the same situation, or actually a lot of people in the same situation. But these particular people were in the wilderness dying of thirst. The prophet Elijah came to them and told them to dig ditches. 2 Kings 3:16 says, "The hand of the Lord came on Elisha, and he said, 'This is what the Lord says. I will fill this valley with pools of water, for this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. You and your cattle and all your other animals will drink.' Elisha told them, 'You will not see wind or rain, yet the valley will be filled with water.' When they woke up the next morning, water came by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water, and every ditch was filled." I know right now, sometimes you can't see what God is doing or how he's going to fix anything, and it does look terminal. Maybe not in the sense of death, but it doesn't seem like your situation is going to end anytime soon. But I promise you, he is sending the water. The water may be healing for your body, or deliverance for your prodigals, or restoration for your marriage, or a breakthrough in your finances. It may be the end to a spiritual drought. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. But it is coming, and I believe it is coming. Healing power is on the way. Miracles are on the way, and deliverance is on the way. So do not accept the enemy's report. Do not even accept the report of your own senses, because we know how our own senses and feelings can affect how we see God working. Believe God's report and dig a ditch. Believe his report and begin to praise him in the middle of your desert, in the middle of your fiery furnace, during your lion's den, during your pain, in the face of a bad report, surrounded by broken pieces, surrounded by voices of hopelessness and despair. Dig a ditch. Lift your voice and give God praise. Take out the word of God and begin to declare promises of God over your life. Yes. Nehemiah came with a message of revival. The first part of that message is this: it's not over. It's not the end. It can be restored. It can be rebuilt. Kind of what inspired me on this story a while back is, I'm sure most of you here have probably heard of the movie Facing the Giants. It's an older movie. It's kind of a low-budget movie, but it was a great movie. It's a great movie of faith. And anytime I'm scanning the channels and it comes on, I have to watch it. I just love watching it. And that's kind of what inspired me looking at this story of the rebuilding of the wall, because if you remember from the movie, if you've seen it, during practice, he's talking to his defensive players, talking about how he talks about the story of Nehemiah and how they built the wall, and they had to do it in a certain amount of time. And I don't remember for sure if it was covered in the movie, but if you read the story about the wall, they worked on it day and night. They would build, and then they would take turns. They would stand guard on the wall, and then we'd build the next day. It didn't stop. It went on. So the coach tries to inspire his defense by telling them the story. And so what I want to do is just kind of show that clip, if that's all right with you guys.
In the Old Testament, Nehemiah had the task of building a stone wall around his city for protection. But he didn't have enough people or resources or time. But because each person worked on the stone wall that was in front of their house, they got it done in record time. That's what you're going to do. On defense, you have to resolve. Nothing gets by you as an individual. Nothing gets by us as a team. I need you to build me a stone wall.
I'm done. Someone else has got to lead.
Brock, this is when it matters most. I know you're tired. It's easy to lead when you're strong. But now is when you lead. It's right now. Can you give me four more downs? I just need four more downs.
Four more.
All right, come here. Come here.
This is our time, and you've got to put the nails in the coffin.
Look at me. Look at me. We didn't fight this far to give up in the last quarter. You've got to leave everything on the field.
And field goals, they're not an option.
I need you for four more downs. Who's with me?
Now get up there and get it done.
With less than 2 minutes left on the clock, the Giants stand on the verge of their fourth straight consecutive state title. A tired Eagles team lines up to face them yet again.
Stonewall! Stonewall!
Yes. Stonewall!
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 Stonewall! Stonewall!
Giants line up first and goal. This score will solidify the state championship. No, wait a minute. He has stopped. The Eagles are still in it. They're still showing strong determination to fight this one out.
Get out right now!
Gotta hang with me. I know it's getting tough. We've got to stop them right here.
It's second down and goal to go for the Giants. The state title is within their grasp. Both of the stands are on their feet right now as they get ready to run this play. Bruce Porter will take it. He's going to try to run it. No, the Eagles have stopped him again.
That's my team. That's my team.
Come on. Get it in the end zone.
Two more.
And here we go again. They're going to tee it up and try it again. Wes Porter will take the snap. He's looking to pass into the corner. He's got somebody there, but no, the Eagles back down the pass. And the crowd is going nuts right now. The Giants have been kept out of the end zone by the Eagles on three straight plays. And now Bobby Lee Duke will have a big decision to make.
Coach, we have got to go for a field goal.
We are not going for a field goal.
He's not kicking it. Brock! Brock! One more down! One more down!
It's fourth down, and the Giants are going for the touchdown. This crowd is going absolutely berserk right now. They line up at the one-yard line. Wes Porter's going to take the snap. They're going to run it. Brock Kelly's going to hit it head-on, and there's a fumble! There's a fumble! The Eagles have the football. They're taking it back down the field. He's at the 40. He's at the 50.
That wasn't me. That was a clip. Sorry. That was a YouTube clip. But, I mean, is that not inspiring? I mean, doesn't that make you want to build that wall? I mean, wow. I love that. Man, whew. That's the word of the Lord to us as well. It's not over. It's not beyond repair. It's not hopeless, and it's not useless. The Tobias and the Sanballats, which we'll read about those guys in just a second, say it is a useless waste of time. A fox will even break it down, referring to the wall. The devil would have us believe that it is impossible. He would have us to believe that we can never be healed, your marriage can never be restored, your prodigals will never come home. The devil would have us believe that this nation is doomed and that we are beyond help, that we have passed the point of no return. He would have us believe that evil has triumphed, that false religion and homosexuality and lust and perversion and idolatry have won. The devil would have us to believe that it is useless, it is hopeless, and that our efforts are all in vain. He would have us to believe that the churches are preaching in vain, that the preaching of the cross and the blood of Jesus as the only remedy for sin and holiness and purity, truth and sanctification are all messages that are outdated and powerless now. But the devil is a liar.
Yes.
It is not hopeless. It is not useless. And there is no expiration date on the blood of Jesus and the message of the cross. The gospel is still the power of God to save all who believe. The preaching of the cross is still as powerful as it was ever was, and the power of the Holy Spirit still sanctifies and delivers and gives us power over sin. God is still sending revival wherever the gospel is preached and believed and acted on. The Tobias and the Sanballats are always going to object and resist the work of God. But as we know from 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
So I want to encourage somebody, I want to encourage everybody today, including myself, that our labor is not in vain. We need to keep preaching the cross, preaching the blood of Jesus, preaching holiness, righteousness, sanctification, rebuking sin, casting out devils, and healing the sick. We cannot compromise. If we lift the standard high, our work will be rewarded. The second part of Nehemiah's message was this. It's going to take some work. We can have revival. We can have a mighty move of God. The wall can be rebuilt, but it's going to take work on our part. Revival is not a random act of grace that falls unsuspectingly on random people from time to time as the Lord sovereignly chooses. Revival is the product, the fruit, the culmination of the cooperative effort of the Spirit of God and the people of God. Nehemiah wanted to revive and build a wall. Nehemiah works with God's people to accomplish this purpose. Revival is not an accident. Revival begins with a desire for change. Revival begins when we can see and admit what we have lost, what has been broken down, and what we choose to no longer accept as normal. Sin is not normal. Homosexuality, broken homes, divorce, sickness, disease, idolatry, the occult, perversion are not normal. Revival is God's people praying, fasting, sacrificing, laying aside fleshly, carnal pursuits, repenting, turning from our wicked ways, crying out to God, and God answering them. We can have revival whenever and wherever we are willing to pay the price to do the work. Revival does not begin with the world. We cannot expect the world to get better until the church gets right with God. Amen. Revival begins at church. It begins with every child of God rebuilding the wall in their own hearts, the wall of honesty, integrity, truth, and righteousness. It begins at the altar of repentance, turning away from all that is worldly, fleshly, and sinful. Listen to Sanballat and Tobiah as they try to discourage the man of God and the work, because the devil hates revival. This is Nehemiah 4, 1 through 3. When Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, says, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it, would break it down, break down their wall of stones." I love this part because it just speaks to anger and hostility that you hear from, I guess, the non-Christians, the people that want to cancel us. They would criticize and try to humiliate us, try to demoralize us. But what I love about this is Nehemiah is saying, and God is saying in the story, is that they can't do anything, Sanballat says they can't do anything with these burnt stones piled up in trash. He was saying you cannot do anything with trash. You cannot build anything with these used burnt stones. He was saying these stones are trash and they are good for nothing. It was almost like the devil can hear, like it's almost like you can hear the devil speaking these words through him. Just like how the devil will try to speak to us through others, or even get in our minds and tell us that we are no good. That we've been burned, we're all messed up, we've been broken, abused, a drug addict, maybe even homosexual, cheated on your spouse, failed in the ministry, you're a nobody. You're rubbish, you're trash, you're good for nothing, and nobody wants you. But I can hear another voice speaking. The voice of Nehemiah, the voice of God saying, "I want these old burnt stones. I want those stones piled up in the trash over there that no one wants and everybody threw away. The rejected ones, the broken ones, the ones that did not fit, the burned ones, the ones who carry the scars of their abuse, the ones with needle tracks up and down their bodies, the one who have been rejected by religion, the outcasts of society, the lepers, and the untouchables. I'm going to do what you said I could not do. I'm going to take these old burnt stones and I'm going to make a new wall with them." How many are glad this morning that God uses burnt stones? Yes. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11 says, "Or do you not know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither they're sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor the drunkards, nor the slanderers, nor the swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of us were. I stand here confessing that to you this morning. But we were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. I always like to look at when I use the scripture, I like to look what the Message says. I just always enjoy reading the Message. So this is that same passage in the Message. So I think it was pretty cool. Don't you realize that this is not the way to live? Unjust people who do not care about God will not be joining in his kingdom. Those who use and abuse each other and abuse sex and abuse the earth and everything in it do not qualify as citizens in God's kingdom. Several of you know from experience what I'm talking about, for not so long ago, you were on that list. Since then, you have been cleaned up and given a fresh start by Jesus, our Master, our Messiah, and by our God present in us. Such were some of us. The truth is, most of us were not the top shelves of society of who's who. Speaking for myself, I was at the bottom of the barrel. Unfortunately, I found myself there more than once. How many remember the mess you were in when God found you and picked you up? Some of you were drunk, drug addicts, unfaithful to your spouse, behind bars, liars, cheaters, thieves, and fornicators. I know most of us this morning are looking pretty good. We have some money in our pocket. Most of us drove here in a decent car, and we are eating pretty good. But the truth is, we were not always this pretty and did not always have it all together. The truth is, some of us have some ugly stuff in our past, and if God were looking for perfect people, we wouldn't have made the cut. If God were looking for the nice, prim, and proper people who never did anything wrong, most of us in this room would be eliminated. And if God were only accepting good people who never broke the law, never cheated, lied, stole, abused their bodies, been abused by someone else, you and I would have been rejected. But God loved us, had mercy on us, forgave us, delivered us. He did not go down to a perfect street to choose his material. He came down to the rubbish, the heaps, the trash piles of life, and he picked up the broken and the bruised and the wounded and the burned and the most used and abused and said, "This is what I will use to build my wall and my church. I will take these old burned stones and build a new wall." It doesn't matter where you came from, what you did, even maybe what you did on the way down to church. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I do believe wholeheartedly that there is a spirit of revival in the land. God is pouring out his spirit in unprecedented ways. We don't see that on CNN and NBC and Fox and all that stuff, but I still believe it's happening. There are signs and wonders and miracles being poured out today, but it is not going to happen everywhere. There are going to be churches that are flooded with the glory of God, and I certainly hope Wellspring of Life is one of those. There are going to be known as hot spots for revival, where the fire of God is going to fall in those places. Miracles, healing, deliverance are going to be common occurrences. But there are other churches that are going to be dry, drought-stricken, barren places, no presence of God, no supernatural moves of God or visitations. What is the difference? The answer is the move of God is coming to where they have prepared for it. It is coming to a people who have cleared the way for it. It is coming to a people who are hungry for it. It is coming to a people who are desperate for it. And it is coming to a people who are digging the ditches. It is coming to a people who are rebuilding the wall, lifting the standard, renouncing sin, tearing down the idols, and rebuilding the altar. I know that things look dark and bleak and gloomy around us, and I might sound a little nuts, but I do believe that God is not finished with us yet. I believe that revival is still very much a reality despite what we see in the world around us. another clip I want to play from the same movie, and it kind of speaks to what I just talked about building the wall, digging the ditches, and preparing. And there's this little, it's a shorter clip, where I believe it's the pastor for the high school comes and sees the coach in his office, because he knows that the coach, God tells him to go speak to the coach because the coach is really suffering financially. They're having hardships with their finances. His wife had been trying to have a baby, couldn't have that. And also, he's struggling with his team. Play this clip for you and just kind of speaks to preparing.
Mr. Bridges?
Revelation chapter 3 says, "We serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut, and he shuts doors that no one can open." He says, "Behold, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Coach Taylor, the Lord is not through with you yet. You still have an open door here. And until the Lord moves you, you're to bloom right where you're planted. I just felt led to come and tell you that today.
Mr. Bridges, you believe God told you to come tell me that?
I do.
I admit to you I have been struggling. But I've also been praying. I just don't see him at work here.
Grant, I heard a story about two farmers who desperately needed rain. And both of them prayed for rain. But only one of them went out and prepared his fields to receive it. Which one do you think trusted God to send the rain?
Well, the one who prepared his fields for it.
Which one are you? God will send the rain when he's ready. You need to prepare your field to receive it.
What do you think about that? Whew. Prepare for rain, huh? The rain is coming. It is coming to those prepared places. And we certainly hope that Wellspring is one of those prepared places. It is coming to where the walls are being restored. It is coming to the dry places, the thirsty places, the wounded places, the broken places. It is coming with healing, miracles, with signs and wonders, and deliverance and salvation. Sick bodies are going to be healed. The bound and oppressed are going to be set free. We need to cry out to God for revival, for our church, our family, our communities, and our country, and our schools. Let us all get the junk that we have out of our lives and stop limping back and forth and prepare. Let us consecrate ourselves unto God. Let us build the altar and put the sacrifice on the altar, and God will send the fire. Let us build the wall, and God will send revival. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com. So I will lift up my heart.